The headlines. President Raisi assures Iran's neighbors that the U.S. sanctions will not hamper regional interactions. Countries around the globe are scrambling to contain Omicron, a new coronavirus strain designated a variant of concern. And plus, 4 months into his presidency, Peru's Castillo is facing calls to step down and a congressional push for his impeachment. Our top story for this half hour. President Ibrahim Raisi assures Iran's neighbors that Washington's sanctions will have no bearing on regional cooperation and interaction.
The United States' cruel sanctions against Iran will not have the slightest impact on the Islamic Republic of Iran's policy of maximum interaction with neighboring and regional countries.
Raisi, who was in Turkmenistan's capital, Ashgabat, to attend a summit of the Economic Cooperation Organization, called on member states to work together on a range of fields, from the creation of a regional electricity market to water transfer projects as well as energy ventures. He said Iran is ready to help connect the fiber optic networks of member states as well as promote artificial intelligence projects and virtual education programs. President Raisi also proposed that the organization create an internal financial mechanism to boost its efficacy. Parties to Iran's 2015 nuclear deal are preparing for fresh talks in Vienna. In the lead-up to the event, Iran's negotiating team is already holding bilateral and trilateral meetings. The Iranian team has held talks at the expert level with the heads of the Russian and Chinese teams, as well as EU coordinator Enrique Mora. The signatories to the deal are set to resume talks after a five-month break. Iran says that it won't settle for anything less than the U.S. sanctions removed all at once in a verifiable manner. Iran also wants strict guarantees that the U.S. will not abandon the agreement again. The U.S. imposed many rounds of sanctions on Iran after pulling out of the accord in 2018. We've talked to Mualezgi. She told us about concerns and hopes being raised just ahead of the start of the talks in Vienna. Let's take a listen.
A lot of political observers, commentators, if you read the news reports or comments, a lot of them say that they don't hope for any breakthrough, that it doesn't look like things are going to work out anytime soon. But there is also hope, at least we heard from the Russian ambassador here, who's quite active on Twitter when it comes to pursuing these talks, and he's also the head of the Russian delegation, Mr. Olyanov. He's saying that during the IAEA board session, all members of the board, the Europeans, Russians, Chinese, we're all hopeful that these rounds of talks can help revive the deal if, of course, he was saying that the root cause of the problem is addressed. And he was referring to the U.S. withdrawal, saying it's now time to deal with that which caused the problem in the first place. The new negotiating team reiterating, but in a very stronger tone, that it wants the verifiable and effective removal of all U.S. sanctions, including the additional Trump-era sanctions, unconditionally and immediately. And this is being seen by some commentators as the maximalist demands, that they are of the view that the United States will not yield, because in the previous rounds of talks, there was, of course, speculation that the U.S. was not agreeing to these terms.
A group of Israeli settlers backed by soldiers have attacked a Palestinian village in the occupied West Bank. Witnesses say settlers harassed Palestinian villagers while Israeli soldiers prevented students from heading to school. The soldiers also assaulted journalists who were covering the attack. That was the second such incident in the same Palestinian village in the past several days. Earlier this month, UN human rights experts said in 2021, settler violence against Palestinians in the occupied territories reached the highest levels in recent years. The experts said Israeli authorities have done far too little to curb the violence. Just 2 weeks ago, Israeli rights group B'Tselem issued a report documenting scores of incidents when Israeli forces did nothing to stop the settler attacks or even joined in. The decision by Britain to ban the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, as well as Australia's blacklisting of Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah, has drawn condemnations. The two groups have slammed the moves and vowed to continue to fight against the Israeli regime's crimes and violations.
A plot to silence anti-Israel resistance groups. This is what many describe the latest move by Australia and the UK to blacklist Lebanese and Palestinian resistance movements. Canberra announced this decision on Wednesday.
Today I'm announcing my intention to list the base and the entirety of Hezbollah as terrorist organisations under the criminal code. Now, listing these organisations sends a very strong message that Australia condemns the use of terrorism to achieve political, ideological or religious objectives.
In 2003, Australia blacklisted Hezbollah's military wing, but Wednesday's decision expanded the list to include the group's political wing, which is a powerful player in Lebanon's politics with seats in parliament and cabinet. On November 19, the British government did the same with the political wing of Hamas, joining the United States, Canada and the European Union in fully banning the group.
And today, I have laid an order in the United Kingdom Parliament to amend Schedule 2 of the Terrorism Act 2000 to prescribe Hamas in its entirety, including its political wing.
The decisions have been slammed by resistance groups, with Hamas calling Britain's move unlawful.
The decision is a crime against the Palestinian people and against its historical struggle. This is a condemnation of our right to defend ourselves. It is a political and ethical mistake and unlawful by Britain, added to its first crime, when they had the ball for declaration. This step is to satisfy the occupation.
Hezbollah has also denounced Australia's move. Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah says the decision to blacklist the group will not affect its resolve and determination.
Putting the name of Hezbollah into the list of terrorist organizations may be due to regional developments or parliamentary election. However, such designations will not affect the determination of the resistance, nor the support for it.
Both Hezbollah and Hamas have been fighting against the Israeli regime's occupation of their lands for decades. Hezbollah was established following the 1982 Israeli invasion and occupation of southern Lebanon. The movement drove out Israeli forces from Lebanon in May 2000, though Tel Aviv still occupies parts of Lebanon. Hamas also plays a significant role in defending Palestinian rights against frequent Israeli aggressions. The U.S. has already blacklisted both groups to appease the Israeli regime, which was created and nourished by Washington and its Western allies. Australia, the U.S. and Britain are now in a trilateral security pact and are not the only main suppliers of weapons to Israel, but regularly vote against anti-Israeli resolutions at the U.N. Their latest moves have exposed their intentions even further, as they have chosen to support the aggressors at the expense of the victims.
Global concerns rising over the latest coronavirus variant that is now being called Omicron. More countries are restricting travel from southern Africa to block its spread. Iran halted travel from six African countries on Sunday, joining a growing list of countries trying to seal themselves off. Omicron first emerged in South Africa, but cases are already being detected or suspected in several countries, including the UK, Germany, Italy, France, and Austria and Australia. The variant has a large number of mutations. The World Health Organization says it's potentially more contagious than the previous strains.
Have become a scene of stranded passengers with cancelled flights as the world races to contain the new concerning COVID-19 variant called Omicron. While inconvenient in nature, the bans have drawn mixed reactions from people most affected by the restrictions.
I'm not happy with the situation because I booked my flight on time. Everything was on time. Now I'm inconvenienced because I had to be at work tomorrow, but then they cancelled the flight. After cancelling the flight, if I arrive in the UK, because I'm quarantining in Frankfurt, if I arrive in the UK after 4 p.m., I have to quarantine in a hotel on my cost for 10 days. I don't have the money. I don't have the £2,000 to quarantine in the hotel.
The countries that are banning South Africans out have higher rates than we currently do. So I don't think it's totally fair, but I get that countries are just trying to protect themselves and their citizens.
Meanwhile, South Africa, enraged by the restrictions, says it is being punished for being the first country to detect and report the strain, which the World Health Organization has termed a variant of concern.
Based upon the information that we have, particularly from South Africa, they have advised WHO that this variant should be classified as a variant of concern.
Following the discovery, several countries have not only imposed restrictions, but also locked their first cases of the Omicron variant. The British government on Saturday announced new precautionary measures after two Omicron cases were detected in the country.
We will require all contacts of those who test positive with a suspected case of Omicron to self-isolate for 10 days, regardless of your vaccination status. We will also go further in asking all of you to help contain the spread of this variant by tightening up the rules on face coverings in shops and on public transport.
Elsewhere in Europe, Germany reported two cases of the Omicron variant in the state of Bavaria. In Italy, officials registered the first case of the new strain in a traveler from Mozambique. The Czech Republic and the Netherlands have each also reported one suspected case of the new strain. Meanwhile, Hungary says it will impose restrictions on travelers from seven African countries. This comes while EU member states had already agreed to impose restrictions on all travel from South Africa. Iran halted travel from African countries including South Africa, Mozambique, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini until further notice. Several other countries, including Australia, the US, Brazil, and Guatemala, have either forced several travel restrictions already or are set to impose such bans this week. While scientists are still learning about the variant, the news has already taken a toll on the global economy amid fears of what the new travel bans would do to the economy still reeling from its falls in 2019. Since its emergence, COVID-19, which has claimed over 5,190,000 lives out of nearly 261 million cases, has gone through several mutations. But considering the human body's ability to fight new strains of the virus and the immunity provided by vaccines, officials across the globe continue to push for jabs in the world's fight against the pandemic.
Thousands of Peruvians want President Pedro Castillo to step down, and they've marched in the streets of Lima to have their say. Castillo has been president for just over 3 months, but his popularity has been on the decline. Opposition legislators in the Congress have even presented a motion to impeach the president, arguing he's morally unfit to rule the country. The motion needs at least 52 votes from the 130-seat body to begin the impeachment proceedings, though a vote is not yet scheduled. Castillo has promised to redistribute mineral profits more evenly, but protesters say they haven't seen that happen. They're also angry at the scandals involving several of Castillo's ministers and advisors. In the coming hours, France will host a European meeting to discuss ways to stop migrants crossing into the UK on boats, but Britain itself will be absent. France is angry with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson for criticizing its handling of the situation. The dispute escalated after 27 migrants drowned a few days ago while trying to make their way from France into Britain through the Channel. Johnson wrote a letter to President Emmanuel Macron and published it on Twitter before the French leader had even received it. Now ministers from France, Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium are set to address the crisis in the northern French port of Calais this afternoon. Top on the agenda will be how to tackle human smugglers that provide boats to migrants to cross the narrow waterway. People have gathered in London's Chinatown to protest racism. They say East and Southeast Asians feel like unwanted guests in Britain, a country that has a history of denying them equal rights, jobs, and freedoms. And COVID-19 has only made it worse. Bianca Raimi tells us more in this report.
Each year, nearly 18 million visitors pass through Chinatown. But since the start of the pandemic in 2019, business owners here have struggled with a drop in sales, vandalism, and boycotts.
East and Southeast Asians make up the UK's third largest racial minority. Nonetheless, they are underrepresented here, depicted in a negative light on television, and anti-Asian racism is alive and well. Meanwhile, British politicians stand accused of making matters worse.
Remember Jacob Rees-Mogg, the leader of the House? Only recently he said something about yellow peril, and then he said, oh, I didn't know it's a racist statement. That's what the British government is. They continuously making statement about, you know, Chinese, and then saying, oh, I didn't know it was racist. I mean, in other circumstances, if you say the N-word or the P-word nowadays, everyone noticed that it is a racist term, not for the Chinese.
China's growing influence worldwide is being observed with some chagrin in Western countries. And with governments choosing to dub COVID-19 the China virus, attacks on East and Southeast Asians has gone up, in the UK by 300%.
There's a bias there. And so it's a combination of things that they feel it's a small community. They feel as if they're guests. And I think the fact that for a better part of a year now, numerous Asians, and that's not just Chinese, Koreans, Japanese, Filipinos, have been getting bashed out of them because of Donald Trump's anti-Asian rhetoric.
In 2020, British media fueled anti-Asian hate by using images of East or Southeast Asian people in 33% of COVID-19 media stories, when in reality they make up less than 2% of the UK population, and nothing was done to stamp it out. Tensions ran high at Saturday's protest. The unverified word on the street is the counter-protest was funded by far-right nationalist groups who are using COVID-19 as an opportunity to promote anti-globalization sentiment and protectionist measures like closing borders. Bianca Rahimi, London.
That's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first to six. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 28, 2021. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through mails, emails, and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. If you have any messages for our great listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program, Listeners Special, the Sunday program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So, keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back to your program, Listeners Special. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service, a high-quality service, to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us in the time of pandemic, actually. So, here, I sent my appreciations to those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Han Hardung from the Netherlands, Mizanur Rahman, one of our regular listeners from Bangladesh, and Howard Barnett, also one of our regular listeners from England. Han, Mizanur Rahman, and Howard, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and to this program, Listeners Special. And many thanks to those of our great listeners around the world who have sent us emails from around the world, including Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Of course, one of our old and regular listeners. Hasna Manzil from India, one of our regular listeners. Toshio Shibata from Japan, one of our old listeners. Dan Olson from Sweden, of course, one of our regular listeners. And Alan Willey from Canada. So, after a short break, I will be back with these great emails from around the world. Please stay with Listeners Special. Guess what? The piece of music you just heard was from south of Iran. Okay, as I said, Eddie Witanto, one of our regular listeners, sent us an email. Eddie says, firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. I tune in to the IRIB English Radio regularly because many topics and issues about Iranian culture and society and Islamic teachings are presented in the programs and they are very interesting. I hope to receive a printed QSL card soon because as a long-time shortwave listener, I still prefer the printed QSL card instead of EQSL. Best regards from Indonesia. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, and from IRIB English Radio to Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Many thanks for sending us this email. So you tune in to the IRIB English Radio regularly. Okay, keep up the good job of listening to IRIB English Radio regularly. And thank you very much for letting us know your opinion about IRIB English Radio programs because you said you like the programs about Iranian culture and society and the Islamic teachings that are presented in the programs. And you described it as very interesting and that's great. Thank you for letting us know about it. So, you prefer the printed QSL card. As you may know, we can send our dear listeners the printed QSL cards in the time of pandemic, and we hope that this virus be eradicated from around the world, and then we can send our Great listeners, the printed QSL cards and the paper QSL cards and the promotional items of IRM English Radio. So for the time being, we have to cope with it. We have to deal with it and send you these EQSL cards. So please accept it from us, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Best regards to you. Thank you very much for sending us this email, Eddie. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Eddie. And from India, we have an email from Hasna Manzil. Hasna is one of our regular listeners. So Hasna says, dear friends at IRB English Radio, I am a listener of worldwide radios, and this time I had a chance to listen to IRB English Radio based in Tehran, Iran. I would love to listen to your radio regularly, so please send me the frequency guide of your station with complete details of the programs. I shall be very grateful if you do it. Thanks and regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, Hasna Manzil from India. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. So, you regularly listen to worldwide radios, and this time you again listen to IRB English Radio. That's great. Regarding your request about sending you frequency guide of IRB English Radio, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find the frequency guide of IRB English Radio and the complete details of the programs. We are very grateful for this email from you, Hasna Manzil from India. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Keep up the good job and listen to IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special. So, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Japan, from Toshio Shibata. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Toshio Shibata, one of our regular listeners from Japan, has sent us an email. Toshio says, hello, thank you very much for sending me the EQSL for my reception of IRIB World Service. Now, I am happy to tell you that with coming of autumn to Japan, I'm seeing more and more IRIB signals arriving Japan on medium wave. On November 21st, I also received what seemed to be IRIB English Radio from Tehran. I praise IRIB engineers' good job for maintaining the transmission facilities in perfect conditions. Could you please send me an EQSL or possible QSL card for the reception I have sent you? I see the number of COVID-19 infections are rapidly decreasing in Iran. I hope the life will be back to normal soon. Best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan, and please accept our warm gratitude to you for sending us this great email. And that's amazing. It seems that you follow up Iran's news about the developments of Iran carefully, because you know the number of COVID-19 infections are rapidly decreasing in Iran, and that's because of the vast rate of vaccination which is happening in Iran. Yes, the vaccination rate has increased in the Islamic Republic of Iran, and many people, the majority of people, have been vaccinated in Iran, and so the number of COVID-19 infections are rapidly decreasing. Thank God. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card what you sent us, actually for the confirmation. And it seems that you are satisfied by the quality of our broadcasting, including the quality of transmission, because you said you praised IRIB engineers' good job for maintaining the transmission facilities in perfect conditions, and that's great. Thank God. We're so glad to hear that from you. So, Toshio Shibata from Japan, write to us soon and tell us your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. We also hope that the life around the world will be back to normal soon after this virus is eradicated. And from Sweden, we have an email from Dan Olson, one of our old and regular listeners. Dan Olson from Sweden says, "Dear radio friends on IRIB English Radio, my name is Dan Olson and I am a Swedish radio listener. Few days ago, I had the pleasure to hear IRIB. I have enclosed an MP3 file with a part from the program. I am 61 years old and I work as a teacher for children between ages 6 to 9 years old. My interests are listening to radio, doing sports, and collecting stamps. Best regards from Sweden." Salam and warm greetings to you, Dan Olson from Sweden, and many thanks for sending us this email. Yes, you are Dan Olson. You are a Swedish radio listener. You're 61 years old and you're a teacher, and you're doing one of the great jobs in the world being a teacher, especially for children between ages 6 to 9 years old. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card for sending us this great email. And Dan Olson, why don't you tell us your views about our programs in IRIB English Radio? Yes, in your upcoming emails or letters, please tell us your opinion about IRIB English Radio programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Alan Willey from Canada. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Alan Willey from Canada has sent us an email. He says, "Hello, dear staff of IRIB English Radio. Greetings once again from Newfoundland, Canada. Here is an initial set attached of reception reports of IRIB shortwave broadcast as a monitor here in Newfoundland during the early start to the new B21 schedule of frequencies. I'd be glad to receive a paper QSL card or an EQSL from IRIB English Radio if possible. Regards." Salam and warm greetings to you, Alan Willey from Canada. Thank you very much for sending us this email, this message. So you were successful in receiving the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region, Newfoundland, Canada. Thank you very much for sending us this message. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card from IRIB English Radio. The frequency schedule is available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And time tells me we have to skip to the next section of this week's listeners special, which is, of course, guess what? Yes, this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. We hope you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, hello to our listeners of IRB English, especially to the listeners of Listener Special this evening. Warm greetings from Central Philippines. My name is Henry Omadhai. I am a director and radio hobbyist since 1990. And presently, I'm a presenter of Philippine DX News every Sunday over Waitsan. I'm listening to various international radio stations from all over the world. In my collection, thousands of QSL cards, including from the Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English. I think I've been listening to I read the English since 1995. I can hear current news from the Republic of Iran, pressing issues and current affairs. My favorite program, of course, is the Listener Special. More than a decade ago, I can still remember you interviewed me twice in this program. And I think this is my fourth time here in your program. Yeah, to all the listeners around the world, during this pandemic, keep safe and continue to listen to RIB English Service.
Wishing you all the best in life. Here we wrap up this week's edition of Listener's Special. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
From the U.S. Federal Reserve to the European Central Bank, policymakers are grappling with a surge in prices not seen for decades, while trying to keep wobbly economies on course to recovery from the ravages of the coronavirus pandemic. We're prepared for you an article written by Martin Ferrer. The piece is titled, Wake Up, Marcus Warns Central Banks to Get a Grip on Inflation. The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. financial markets fear the world's leading central banks are risking economic disaster by misjudging the threat of rising inflation and not turning off the stimulus taps that have flooded the global economy with money. From the U.S. Federal Reserve to the European Central Bank, policymakers are grappling with a surge in prices not seen for decades, while trying to keep wobbly economies on course to recovery from the ravages of the coronavirus pandemic. While central banks stick largely to the mantra that inflation is transitory and price pressures on everything from timber to turkeys will ease in the coming months, economists, business leaders and investors are ringing alarm bells. They fear that without swift action, such as a rise in interest rates, runaway inflation, which has not been seen in developed economies since the early 1980s, will become so embedded by next year that a policy switch will be too little too late to have any effect. At the very least, they see that this is a critical moment to end the massive money printing schemes that were ramped up to counter a pandemic recession. Julian Jessop, an independent economist who has worked at the UK Treasury and Citi firms, said most central banks were well behind the curve and that rising costs throughout the supply chain, such as in shipping, would continue to put upward pressure on prices well into next year. Julian Jessop said central banks need to respond to changing economic conditions. The recession that justified the additional quantitative easing and keeping interest rates at emergency lows is over. Jessop added, given that interest rates were at record lows, modest increases would not be an economic disaster, but should help to prevent one. He said, interest rates and borrowing costs are still likely to remain near historical lows, especially real rates, after allowing for inflation. In reality, central banks would simply be taking the foot off the accelerator rather than slamming on the brakes. Poland, where inflation hit 6.8% in October, its highest for 20 years, has decided to go on the attack immediately. The Polish Prime Minister, Mateusz Morawiecki, said on Thursday, 25th of November, that the government would cut tax on fuel and energy from December and would offer bonuses to the hardest-hit households. Describing the move as an anti-inflation shield, he said, it would cost the Polish government about 10 billion zlotys, or 1.8 billion pounds, and that additional funds would come from spending cuts. Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki blamed inflation, which has hit 6.8% in October, its highest since 2001, on greater energy costs, saying they stem from Russia's gas policy, the European Union's climate policy, and CO2 emission certificate prices, as well as on bonuses that were paid out to help businesses survive the COVID-19 pandemic. Prices have risen on food, fuel and energy. Prime Minister Morawiecki said, we are offering a larger reduction of tax in order to cushion the effect of the inflation, adding, inflation may still rise in the winter months of December to March. Inflation has been stalking the global economy for months, but has burst into the open in recent weeks. The 6.2% jump in United States inflation in the year to October stunned markets and highlighted huge increases in the cost of some consumer basics, such as a 46% rise in petrol prices, an 11% rise for meat, fish and eggs. In Britain, inflation is running hot at 4.2%, pumped up by record natural gas prices. We with pandemic-induced supply constraints set to continue for months and a wave of pent-up COVID consumer cash chasing a limited flow of goods, claims by the chair of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, that inflation is transitory, look increasingly hollow. Chris Watling, the chief executive and founder of the advisory firm Longview Economics, agrees that central banks risk being caught out. After the financial crisis of 2008, they pursued loose monetary policy and tight fiscal policy in the form of quantitative easing and spending cuts. Now they have loose monetary and loose fiscal policy with too much money chasing too few goods. He said, they will wake up one day in catch-up phase, adding, perhaps late next year or in 2023, and then they'll end up tightening quite quickly when prices are rising. And if you tighten into that situation, a bubble, it will burst. So it's a real challenge for them. Mohammed Al-Arian, global economist at insurance group Allianz, said that if the U.S. Federal Reserve were to leave it too late to increase rates, the U.S. and perhaps the world could be pushed into recession. Mohammed Al-Arian added, such a tightening would potentially coincide with three other contradictory forces in the United States, a tightening of market financial conditions, the absence of any additional fiscal stimulus, and the erosion of household savings. It is a precarious tightrope for policymakers. Inflation can swiftly undermine business and consumer confidence, but going too hard could jeopardize recovery and could also seriously spook booming property markets in countries such as the United States, Britain, and Australia. Mohammed Al-Arian said policymakers should also consider broader changes to boost productivity and improvements to the oversight of financial stability risk, particularly in the non-banking sector. Some central banks are already preparing to jump off the tightrope, most notably the Bank of England, which came close to raising interest rates earlier this month. The ominous US inflation number means policymakers seem certain to take the plunge and increase interest rates by 0.25 percentage points to 0.35% when they meet again in the first week of December. In a strong attack on how policymakers around the world have reacted to the COVID-19 crisis, the former governor of the Bank of England, Mervyn King, said recently that rising prices have exposed central bankers' King-Canute theory to inflation. New Zealand does not often grab markets' attention, but recently the country's Reserve Bank announced a second interest rate rise in as many months, in an effort to cool inflation, and hit 4.9% in October. Across the Tasman Sea, the Reserve Bank of Australia reiterated its belief that interest rates would not go up from their record low of 0.1% until 2023 at the earliest. But the markets are betting on them being 1% this time next year. Lenders are voting with their feet, though, with the largest bank, the Commonwealth, on Friday, 26th of November, hiking fixed interest rates for the third time in 6 weeks. South Korea's central bank followed New Zealand's example, announcing a rise to 1%, its second increase of the year, amid concern over higher living costs. The country's inflation rate reached 3.2% in October, a near 10-year high. Alex Joyner, the chief economist at IFM Investors in Melbourne, Australia, said central banks were trying to wait it out and hope against hope that pressures from the pandemic would continue to ease with supply issues resolving themselves. He said, they're trying to temper market expectations, but the problem is that markets are not believing them, adding, market pricing is aggressive, with investors showing that they think interest rates will go up. The cautiously optimistic US Federal Reserve view prevails for now, but both Joyner and Walting point to signs of easing in supply chains. The benchmark for world shipping costs, known as the Baltic Index, has been falling, and China is beginning to overcome the power shortages that hurt its giant manufacturing sector in the month of September. However, there's also the possibility that everyone has underestimated the extent of structural changes in the global economy that started in recent years and have been accelerated by COVID. These could mean there is never a return to the Goldilocks era when inflation and growth were both just right. John Studzinski, the managing director and vice chair of PIMCO, the world's biggest bond trader, told a recent Bloomberg forum that higher inflation could persist for 3 to 5 years. He said supply chains need to be re-established as the world emerges from the pandemic crisis, and with some deglobalization of trade, inflation could be very volatile. Just listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes regarding the heart and the heart being that particular place or that particular receiving place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Now obviously this can have many different interpretations and many different possibilities. But here the Imam alayhi salam is speaking about the best of these hearts. That this heart that is the place or you know that receiving place of the mercy, of the blessings, of the faith and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be a place that, you know, or rather must have a specific capability. Therefore we see in this tradition the Imam is mentioning that. And the Imam says that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that verily these hearts are receptacles. And the best of them are the most receptive. So these hearts are a place that, you know, gathers things. It takes in things. But there has to be a specific capability within them that allows them to do so. The most receptive of heart is that heart that when it acknowledges that these are blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how does one make the heart receptive? This is a very important question. One of the means that we see from other traditions of how to make the heart receptive is by pondering upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see this from the Holy Quran, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings certainty to the heart. Now dhikr here is a very broad meaning. So we can take it here as just remembering. That we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do we remember? By pondering upon His signs. By looking at the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are all around us. And by thinking that the system that has been placed here has been placed by a wise, all-powerful, living creator. For in order for that creator, that doer, that organizer, that systemizer to do as we see he had to have had these attributes in order to bring those attributes out in his own system, in his own creation. So this is one of the means that we see that the heart can become more receptive. The heart can bring in that mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even more important is not only bringing it in, but is realizing that this are or there are, these are blessings and grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until our next episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.